February 13, 2008, Senate President John Schiffer from Dan J. Pauley, Director. Subject, Introduction Deadline Final Bill List. The following is reported pursuant to Senate Rule 9-2. The following Senate files and Senate joint resolutions were approved for introduction by the sponsors and signed, submitted, and accepted by the Legislative Service Office prior to 12 o'clock noon today, Wednesday, February the 11th, 2008, and have been jacketed and delivered to the Senate Chief Clerk. Senate files number 1 through number 97.
Reports from standing committees.
Do you want this back? February the 13th, 2007. Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 36, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 13, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 55, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 65, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 12th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 39, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anderson, Case, Jennings, Mockler, and Ross, Senator Anderson, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 21, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senator Cole, Jennings, Von Flatern, and Massey, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 32, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 64, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 66, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 8, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, Perkins, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 7, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye. Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, Perkins, and Vasey. Senator Geis, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at the order of business consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried. Senator Jennings, would you like to approach the desk?
Will the Committee of the Whole please come to order? The first bill for our consideration this afternoon is Senate File 11. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 11, Subdivisions, Large Acre Parcel, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill under Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 11, Subdivisions, Large Acre Parcels. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I would request it be read in at this time. Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment and hope for your leeway that we can discuss both the bill and the amendment. They're kind of intertwined. And I'd yield to the minority floor leader, Senator DeCarrier.
Senator DeCarrier, go ahead and fulfill the request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll do my best. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 11 deals with the development of parcels of land from 35 to 140 acres. The concern over the development in Wyoming has led to a lot of counties facing issues of trying to balance tough issues of growth, water development, wildlife issues, public safety, and now they're putting development on top of that. And the rate of development seems to be coming faster and is including larger lots. A little bit of history, Mr. Chairman, is this was the third time that the legislature has looked at land use planning since 1998. Mr. Chairman, rural residential development is a top issue affecting the consumption of rural land in the state of Wyoming. This bill was really an attempt to try to avoid the one-size-fits-all attempt at land use planning. It allows the ultimate decision to lie at the county level so that counties can decide whether they want to adopt this piece of legislation or not. There's nothing that says that they have to adopt this. Another one of the issues that's come up is that it's coming tougher to provide those public services in a cost-effective manner, especially in these large lots. There was a study done at the University of Wyoming Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics that shows that that replacing 35 acres of ag land with a family residence costs $1.13, and it only generates $1 in revenue. And if you exempt any type of development, any type of regulation of development in this issue, you just exacerbate the revenue cost ratio by not having to provide any infrastructure or services. And the two probably top issues, I guess, if you're really looking at this, would be that with a lot of the development that's going on in these 40-acre blocks right now, there is no control over sewer, roads, utilities, any of those services that people are, we all know, are going to come to expect and eventually demand. And the other part of it is that we're carving up bigger and bigger tracts of open space, which affects Wyoming in many different issues. It not only affects our agricultural industry, but it also affects wildlife, tourism. There are a lot of effects with that. So, Mr. Chairman, The main parts of Senate File 11 would give at the county option, they could put in a subdivision, they could have subdivision regulations for acreages from 35 to a maximum of 140 acres. This is not going to stop development. The bill as it's written contains an exemption through the commission for up to 5 lots. Now, there is in the standing committee amendment, and I will talk to that, the standing committee amendment will actually add that they can have, it's an automatic 10-lot exemption, and that's an issue we may want to talk about, whether that is the proper number or not. The bill as written right now also says that counties can expand the rules if they have a need, but the amendment and standing committee amendment, again, will limit it to exactly what is in the bill currently. They can't add anything that's not in the bill currently, and so they would be limited to regulating only the things that we've laid out in this piece of legislation. As far as the subdivision and what they must provide, the development must provide the information in compliance with the zoning in the county. They have to have a survey plat. They have to tell that what kind of roads and proposed buildings are going to be on the property. They need to have a study that evaluates water and sewerage adequacy. One thing that we found out in the last several years, and I'm sure a lot of you, if you've had any type of development in your county, which most of you have, is that, you know, people all of a sudden come back and say, well, you know, guess what? There isn't any water on our land, or, you know, the sewage is not very adequate, and there's lots of those problems. And so in this piece of legislation, it would require that on the sale of the land, that people are informed that there's going to be no proposed centralized sewage system, no proposed centralized water system, if they're not going to be available and they're not part of the offer. This one also means that they have to have adequate access for roads. One of the big problems that we have in a lot of these developments now is when people start building and living in these areas, is it's hard to get the school buses in, it's hard to get emergency services in. The roads, if they're not built up to minimum design standards, in fact, at times it can be impossible actually to get services into there. And a lot of time, well, most of the time, and I think these people expect that those services are going to be available, and it creates a conflict between not having an adequate way to get those vehicles in and the people's demands for those. It requires a conservation district review and a fire district review. Mr. Chairman, just to the bill itself, you know, from page 1 going into page 2, it is where it spells out that we are only talking about acreages from 35 to 140 acres. And Mr. Chairman, I will come back as far as to where the additions from the standing committee amendment are, if that's okay. In subsection B, it talks about the board is going to, they may require the following information to be submitted. There is a change that occurs in here. Mr. Chairman, from page 2 through page 11 really spells out some of those requirements that I just talked about. I'd be happy to go into those in more detail as far as the requirements that are in the piece of legislation as far as what's required for the subdivision. On page 11, it spells out in subsection G that this is not retroactive. This is only from subdivisions moving forward. There's no attempt in here to go backwards and pick up subdivisions that are already in existence or already in the platting phase or already been filed. This is not going to go back and pick up any of those. This is only subdivisions from the enactment date moving forward that we'll deal with. There is a provision in here, Mr. Chairman, that will say that it must be the contract when there's a sale that takes place that has to be filed within 10 days with the county clerk. One of the problems we have with some of these acreages is that, you know, sales actually take place and it isn't clear actually who is responsible in the taxation of these pieces of property. Mr. Chairman, the rest of the bill talks about, you know, Planning Commission receiving the applications and the process that takes place as far as the procedure that is involved, as far as moving this forward. Mr. Chairman, if I go back to the Standing Committee amendment now, Mr. Chairman, the first part on page 2, line 2, is where we are going to insert the provision that a landowner will be able to develop 10 pieces of property without going through the subdivision process. It doesn't have to be okayed. It's guaranteed that they can develop those 10 pieces of property. The only other provision in there, Mr. Chairman, is that they can do that once every five. Mr. Chairman, is that those pieces of property can't be further subdivided for a period of 5 years. So they get 10 pieces of property, and then it's 5 years before they can do further development or further subdivision of those pieces of property. Mr. Chairman, the other part of that would be the page 2, line 7 section, which would limit to what is currently in the bill the regulations that the county commissioners would have over the subdivision process. They cannot add other items in that are not currently spelled out in this piece of legislation. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would call for, I would be happy to stand questions on the Standing Committee amendment, or I'd call for the question. If there are questions on that, I'd be happy to answer that. And then, Mr. Chairman, then maybe we can go back to the bill.
Questions on the amendment? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the good senator from Uinta County. I'm just really kind of wondering about the rationale of the 10, being able to divide into 10, what the testimony was and what's the rationale behind that. I assume that what we're talking about is 10 different subdivisions, 10 different parcels of property, 35 acres to 140 acres in size, but I'm not certain. But if you would please give us some background on that, because it seems like that's an awful lot to me, 10 piece parcels of property.
Senator DiCaria.
Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman, I apologize if I wasn't clear. Mr. Chairman, this wouldn't be 10 pieces of property from 35 to 140 acres. This would just mean that a landowner could split off 10 pieces of property, similar to the family exemptions that we have in the subdivision ordinances now, that they could split off either for family members or for the cell, for their own operation. They could split off 10 pieces of property off of the entire holding of their property that wouldn't fall into the subdivision requirements.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, further, the discussion in committee was that the problems are coming with the large-scale ones that are way more than 10, that we aren't having trouble with the occasional sale of a parcel or two or even up to 10 of them by a particular landowner. It's the large-scale ones that are causing the difficulties.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How is this covered now? My memory that may be faulty remembers you can take a piece of property, split it in half, and then one of those persons in that split piece of property can split it in half. Where does this fit in with how things are currently done on the property owners splitting?
Senator Case.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I might point out one thing. This is creating a body of statute called large acre subdivisions, okay? In the large acre subdivision statute, there's going to be an exception for 10 acres under the, or 10 parcels under the proposed amendment. However, that split of those 10 parcels may come under your small acre, other subdivision requirements in the law, if you think about it. Only if they're greater than 35 would they be an exception from that this large acre, but they may still be covered because if they're a split of land, then they still are covered under other subdivision laws that we might have. And also, I think the good senator from Laramie County has pointed out, there are other things that impact as well, such as the family exemption and the single splits. Those don't go away. They're in another part of the law, and therefore the dealing with things below 35 acres. But I think there would be an interplay there, and we would have to do some more checking, but I'm quite certain that if you were to come under this exception, it's only an exception in the large acre portion, a large parcel portion of the law. If by your actions you started dealing with small parcels, less than 35 acres, that's obviously going to be covered elsewhere. Does that help? Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was under the assumption that this was the 10 splits were the smaller acres, but now I want to put forth, I guess, a scenario that might happen. Let's say you have a ranch and you're going to sell half of it so you can make the other half viable. Now, the person that bought that ranch and the other person and yourself, you thought you sold enough of it, but are you prohibited of selling anything more after you make the first split? Or if you sold it off in nine different lots and then you had your other, then you'd be prohibited from selling that within 5 years? Or are you just prohibited from making another split? I mean, there's some scenarios there that I really kind of question. But I'm thinking ahead that if a person just thought ahead, say you have five sections and you split that into 10 pieces, and then you wait 5 years, then you can split those 10 pieces into 10 more pieces. Is that what you can do?
Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there's a potential problem there, and the following amendment deals with it. We'll talk about that.
Senator Massey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I, too, have some concerns about this amendment, and I appreciate the explanation that this may be a provision in the smaller acreage. We might just want to leave it in the smaller acreage, though, because this exemption now can go to as much as 140 acres, apparently. And so, and it doesn't say contiguous units of land to what. I assume it's to somebody who already owns a chunk of land. But that's not clear in the amendment. Also, Mr. Chairman, it goes from the present provision, which exempts five units of land, not from the zoning ordinance, but just simply from the collection of information, and it says may, to where it now says shall, and it now puts it up as an exemption to the acreage. And then I'm struggling to try to get a handle on, I assume that someone has a chunk of land out there, and they could technically, I guess feasibly, take a 1,400-acre piece of land that's contiguous, that's touching, and divide that into 10 units of 1,400 of 140 acres, but it says they could do it more than one time. And so I guess they could purchase another chunk of land that's contiguous to that, and they could slowly creep across a valley over a number of years as a result of this exemption. So I don't think it's very clear, and I think it seems like a pretty big loophole.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, there's an amendment to the amendment that follows, and I'm informed that the best parliamentary way would be to handle it at this time, vote it up, vote it down, because this discussion is reaching there, and I think it will answer the particular question that's come up. So I would ask, Mr. Chairman, if we could read that in.
Senator Scott, so you're asking to read in the committee of the whole amendment prior to approving or disapproving the standing committee
amendment? Because it is an amendment to the standing committee amendment.
Would the clerk please read in the committee of the whole amendment? The Scott amendment? Well, they're both Scott amendments.
No.
Hang on just a minute, Senator Scott. President Schiffer, could you give me a point of order on that?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I'd be delighted to. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if you read our rules, on any one day, we are only allowed to consider an issue one time. Because you have an amendment to an amendment, you need to dispose of Senator Scott's amendment and then vote on the initial amendment. That's how the rules apply in this kind of situation. It's the way it is. I'm amazed I remembered that in all this stuff, but that's, and I can go look up the rules if you'd like, but that is the basis of why, if you have an amendment to an amendment, you deal with the second one first and then vote on the whole thing as amended in order to prevent us from taking up the same subject on the same day, which we are prohibited from doing.
Thank you. Senator DeCaria?
Mr. Chairman, I would respectfully disagree in the fact that I don't think you can amend something that we haven't even decided on yet. I mean, we're going to have to vote whether it's even in or out before we're amending things that we haven't made a decision on. It would be like amending a bill that we haven't even talked about.
Senator Scott, we're discussing the procedure on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, frankly, we've done it both ways over the years. I believe President Schiffer is exactly correct as to what the proper way to do it is. You know, we've got the Standing Committee Amendment on the floor. We've been discussing it. This relates to an issue in that, and it would make a good deal of sense to dispose of that issue one way or the other before we have to vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
And Senator Scott, the Committee of the Whole Amendment you're asking to be read in is number one?
Number one. Number two is a different subject.
Unless we call for a Rules Committee, we're going to go ahead. Would the clerk please read in Committee of the Whole Amendment number one?
Senate File 11, Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, page two, line two.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of this amendment to the Standing Committee Amendment. What it does is it goes in the Standing Committee Amendment and adds another sentence to the page two, line two reference, and it deals with the issue that we've been talking about. And the example I used in committee, we're sorry we didn't get it adequately taken care of up there. Suppose I own sections 1, 2, and 3, and I want to take advantage of this 10 parcel exemption. I say I've got this parcel that is the north half of section 1. I'm going to divide it into 10 parcels that are over 35 acres and less than 140. I can take advantage of this exemption. I'm fine. The way it is right now, and several of the senators were alluding to this, I could come in next week and say, I've got this other parcel. First parcel was the north half of Section 1. Second parcel is the south half of Section 1. And I'll do exactly the same thing and essentially destroy the value of the legislation by taking advantage of this, you can split a parcel into 10 pieces, exemption that's provided here. Well, that's not the intention of what the Standing Committee Amendment does. And what this amendment does is say that the parcel from which the division was created means all the lands owned by that person within that township and all the adjoining townships. So that you can't do the go march across the whole valley kind of concept. You're constrained in what you can do. It's not perfect. You know, you can say, well, it isn't fair that I go this township over and do it again. You can still do it. You've got to come through the subdivision process if you do. You can, if you say, have one piece of property in one corner of the county and another clear in the other corner of the county that's more than that township and the next township away, then you can do the have the 10 over there. But it prevents this, and I think necessary, exemption of being able to do a limited number without going through the subdivision process. It prevents that exception from being abused and turned into a device for defeating the whole bill. So with that explanation, which I hope was clear, Mr. Chairman, I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Questions on the amendment to the amendment? Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to put all this in context, put the amendment to the amendment in context. Right now, you can do, if you are dealing with more than 35 acres, you qualify for the exemption all across the state, everywhere, no matter how big, how many parcels, how many townships, whatever, you qualify. You make it 35 acres or greater, and you qualify. This is creating a new body of law that says we are going to now talk about what you can do from 35 to 140 acres. And a county can choose to regulate in the area of 35 to 140 acres with this subdivision statute, should they choose to do so by resolution. The Standing Committee amendment went in and said, oh, we're not going to crank it down quite that tight. We're going to say that the county can adopt this resolution, but someone can have an exception to the resolution for up to 10 pieces of property lying in the range above 35 acres and up to whatever the limit that the county put on when they implemented the resolution. That's how far we got. And I just want to make that one point because it wasn't opening it up. This is all new law. Right now, it is wide open about 35 acres or bigger, okay? Now, the proposal on the table, the amendment to the amendment, further goes into that exception and says that we will not permit that exception. Sorry, I grabbed the wrong one. There's so many here. If the parcel from which the division was created means all the lands by which the person creating the subdivision within the township or townships where the subdivision is located and all adjacent townships, including townships touching only at the corners. So this is like this, the amount of land that a person might have. And it might be a very good amendment, but I want you to understand the implications here. The bill created a body of law to let counties make regulations. The Standing Committee said, yeah, we're going to have one exception for 10 parcels in that new body of law. This amendment goes in and says, within the context of that exception, we're going to make sure that you consider all the land in these townships described herein. And I just want everybody to understand what we're voting on. So if you accept this, and in essence tightens up the exception that the Standing Committee put forward. Would that be
right? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I'm following this, but I think I got some contradictory information because at one point the good senator from Evanston said that it wasn't the 35 to 140, that it could be lands larger than that, which really concerned me if you had acreage and you wanted to split off. If you had 20 quarters and you wanted to sell 20 quarters one at a time, you wouldn't be able to do that if that's the case. But the good chairman says that it's 35 acres to whatever the Board of County Commissioners says, up to 140. So I'd like some clarification on that to make sure that we know whether it can go above 140. I think the good chairman clarified that, but I wanted to make sure that we were on the same wavelength on that. The other comment I think I might have is that on this particular one of townships, you know, a township is 36 square miles. And this says all the lands owned by the person creating the subdivision. So if you were a developer or anyone, not even a developer, if you were anyone that owned land in three different townships or even townships that were touching by the corners, and you own that land, this could span over several miles, tens of miles, to where one 40-acre subdivision or 35 to 140 wouldn't even be in the line of sight of another one. It might be over the hill in the other valley. I think we're starting to trample on private property rights here, and I'm really getting concerned.
Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'll try to answer the first question on the size of the splits. Obviously, this bill goes from 35 to 140, so it's not going to regulate anything over 140. I mean, there is no intent to try to regulate sell of property that's over 140 acres. It won't be allowed in this legislation. It's not allowed anywhere else. It would be just the way that the property is sold today. So I hope that clarifies that. Mr. Chairman, the other issue, and the tall senator from Natrona County might want to speak to that more, but it is talking about all the property where townships are actually touching each other. So it does include a large amount of acreage that is included, that there can only be 10 splits off of that large piece of acreage. You're exactly right on the other one. I think you understand that clearly.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and I want to make it perfectly clear, if we adopt this amendment, you are not precluded from selling, say, 20 parcels. But you then have to go through the subdivision process for a large acre if your county has opted for that. So it doesn't preclude anybody from doing anything, but once you really have a subdivision, you're over the 10 parcels, then you've got to go through that procedure. And the amendment is necessary if we adopt this to have the Standing Committee amendment work, because otherwise the procedure would be open to an abuse where people got multiple 10-parcel exemptions to the point where you never had a large acre subdivision that fit under the law.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the sponsor of the amendment to the Standing Committee amendment. When I read the Standing Committee amendment, it says contiguous units of land. And so if you have four townships that have a common quarter, you could even go further than that. They would be contiguous. So if you read what contiguous means, then does that not mean that contiguous land would only be allowed to do 10 units?
Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, that's right. But you still have to worry about you've designated your contiguous land as separate parcels. You know, the north half of Section 1 followed by the south half of Section 1. Followed by the north half of Section 2, if you don't adopt this amendment, you run in the risk of the Standing Committee amendment being abused that way.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm a little bit slow getting to where we're trying to be, but when I look at the amendment, when you start with the bill, you're talking about an identified tract of land that is, by its very nature, contiguous. So suppose you are a rancher and you've got 300 acres here and then you got 300 acres over here. You want to separate off 80 acres on your property to the right, or your large tract. Then under this provision, that part off is now what we call a parcel from which the division was created. The amendment now means this property over here, which was not contiguous, which was not even under consideration, is now bound by the language of the exception, which now says that I can't go apply the rule on this property which is non-contiguous. So the unintended consequence here that I see is that we weren't worried if you have 600 acres over here, 600 acres over here. We weren't even talking about the 600 acres over here. We're just talking about this. Now, when I divide this piece off here, the 80 acres, this property, which is unrelated a distance away, is now called a parcel from which division was created because it's under common ownership. That seems to me a bad policy decision, if that is the consequence.
Question being called on this Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to the Standing Committee Amendment number two. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion. Thank you. Okay. Start overs. We have Senator Scott's motion on the Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to the Standing Committee Amendment number one. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand.
I'm explaining.
So it failed. The amendment, Committee of the Whole Amendment to the Standing Committee Amendment has failed. Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to refocus the body that now we're talking about the Standing Committee Amendment, that we kind of got bogged down in a whole separate issue there. This issue actually allows for the 10 parcels of ground to be split off and limits the amount of regulation that the county commissioners can impose on the subdivision. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any additional questions, or I would call for the question.
Senator Perkins. Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, this is an exception to this subdivision statute. It's not an exception to the zoning ordinance that the county may have, but of course not all counties have passed zoning ordinances. It's also not an exception to the small subdivision requirement where we're talking about less than 35 acres. So I guess you'd have to potentially, if a county did not have zoning, and did not regulate lot size in a zoning manner, this would be an exception. And let me further hypothesize that the divisions created in the 10-piece exception are all greater than 35 acres, so it doesn't come under the 35-acre portion of the law. Then, indeed, I don't think there would be any regulation about the lot size. But obviously, they would be greater than 35 acres because otherwise they'd be under the other part of the law. Does that help? Okay.
Senator Massey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I hope that we defeat this amendment because, to me, the original intent of this bill was to address or is to address a real problem in the state, and that's with urban crawl across the state of Wyoming. In areas that are fracturing our wildlife areas, that are creating a lot of other problems, in addition to the service problems that we heard about here. Now, indeed, if we do adopt this amendment, the bill does provide county commissioners with the option of imposing some regulations that they don't have right now. Okay, so it's not a complete gummer of a bill if we were to adopt this amendment. However, this is not an exemption from some of the new authority we're giving them. This is an exemption from all the new authority that we're giving them. And this is a big exemption. We had mentioned before with the defeat of the Committee of the Whole amendment that this now allows essentially one landowner with a series of land ownerships that are contiguous to crawl across the valley and essentially undermine this law if the county commissioners choose to impose it. But it's even easier than that, Mr. Chairman. And I, back in the days of the Homestead Acts that were passed back east, homesteads were limited to 160 acres, which made a lot of sense back where there was moisture, you know, back on the other side of the 98th Meridian. But over here in the west where it was dry, it didn't make a lot of sense. So when people homesteaded out here, they got the 160-acre exemptions for themselves along a stream bottom. Then they got their wife to do 160 acres. Then all of their kids to do 160 acres. The cowhand to do 160 acres. That's how they made sense of this homestead law to put together enough of a homestead in order to ranch out here. You could do the same thing here with this amendment if we were to stick it on there. I mean, the person can get family relatives, lots of other people to have ownership all the way across the valley and essentially emasculate whatever power we are given to county commissioners. So I hope that we resist this because it's going to significantly hamper their ability to deal with the problems that we're trying to address.
Senator DiCaria.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we have to focus on what it is we're actually doing here. I mean, without this piece of legislation, there are no regulations. I mean, when we see what happens without any regulation whatsoever, there is no ability to stop that sprawl into, you know, 36 acre if they wanted to divide in, you know, in a weird size. They could do that and divide as many as they want, and they can just go ahead and do that. Mr. Chairman, I think the one thing that was missing in the previous argument also is that it only allows 10 exemptions over a 5-year period. So there is an attempt to check. Instead of having this just go on and then go on and go on again, they get the 10 exemptions, which is true, Mr. Chairman, but they only get 10 within a 5-year period. So there is a check on, you know, uncontained sprawl. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think we'd better divide the standing committee amendment because there's two issues in here, one of which is controversial and one of which I think is not. I propose the first division would be lines 1 through 14 and lines 19 through 23. And that would be the division that relates to the exemptions, the 10 parcels, and taking out the previous way it was written. And then the second division would be lines 15 through 19 and lines 25 through the balance of the amendment.
The chair will take that that division, that split. Would you like to speak on the first portion, Senator
Yes,
Scott?
Yes, Chairman. The first portion is the controversial one that we've been wrestling with. Should we have this 10-acre thing? I'm afraid the way it's written now could, in fact, be abused, and I would join those that wish to that recommend that we defeat this part of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Senator Case, on the first division of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, it's a policy call. You know, the bill as it came to us and it came out of the interim didn't have this exemption in it. We looked it over and thought that really the most testimony we had in committee was about extreme large blocks with literally hundreds of home sites, or, you know, many, many more than 10 in the 35-acre exemptions that seem to be of most concern in Wyoming right now. And I'm not trying to, I think the good senator from Albany County makes a wonderful point about, you know, all the issues about urban sprawl and loss of wildlife habitat. Absolutely all true. We made a policy call with respect to 10, and frankly, it was proposed by the one of the agricultural groups, and it was supported by the County Commissioners Association. It sort of looked like everybody was on the same page with respect to that 10. There was nobody that opposed the 10 in committee. But I sit here, and I'm not sure 10 is the right number. And I could probably look at a subsequent amendment tomorrow that 5 might be the right number or something. But I suspect you got to have some number, because this does become a bit of a perhaps not exactly an ex post law, but you have people that own property now that aren't impacted by it, and their future plans with that property will be impacted by it. You know, it strikes me you could put in an exemption and you could sunset the exemption after a certain time just to try to get transition. Along the same lines, we discussed and did not pass an amendment that said, you know, maybe in counties that have zoning already, we shouldn't even be talking about raising this limit on the number of acres. So it's a policy grapple, and it's a tough one. 10's where the committee came out on. I believe it was unanimous when it came out of the committee, but I might be wrong. I think it was unanimous. But I'm not going to tell you it's perfect, and I'm not going to tell you you couldn't play with it, the numbers tomorrow, what have you. But I do think some form of exemption is warranted, and you could consider this a placeholder if you would, and I think we should pass the standing committee amendment.
Question.
Division 1.
Question being called on Division 1, which are lines 1 through 14 and lines 19 through 23 of standing committee amendment number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. I believe the chair is going to call division on that. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. Would somebody like to speak to Senator Scott, would you please speak to Division 2?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think Division 2 is controversial. It makes it clear, as was explained earlier, that these are the things and that we aren't going to have the counties adding additional requirements beyond which those that are in the statute, and there's a little further cleanup in there. I don't think there's any real controversy on it.
Question being called. All those in favor of Division 2 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The second division of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed. Would the clerk please read in the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2?
Senate File 11, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, page 11, lines 4 through 9.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Chairman, this brings us an entirely different subject within this bill. And frankly, it's a matter of philosophy. The bill works perfectly well, whether you adopt it as the bill comes to you or with this amendment. What this amendment does is it takes out a provision that you see on page 11 that says that these large acre subdivisions, the lots shall not be deemed to be part of a platted subdivisions for the purpose of WS 3913, et cetera. That's the ag tax exemption. Mr. Chairman, the way the law is now, if you're in a platted subdivision, you lose the ag tax exemption. Straightforward. This, as the bill comes to you, it makes these large acre subdivisions an exception to that. What the amendment does is say, no, we're not going to make them an exception to that. If you're in one of these subdivisions, you're not ag tax. You don't get the ag tax valuation. And then because we've got a grandfather clause in here and you need uniformity in your taxation, that's the second part of the amendment that are grandfathered. They've got a year to actually file a plat. County commissioners have to approve it. They don't have any choice. But I suppose they could reject one that wasn't the proper plat, wasn't complete. But you got a complete plat, you got to approve it, and once they do, then you're in a platted subdivision, so that those people are treated for tax purposes equally with everybody else. The key question is, and it's really a matter of philosophy, in the small acre subdivisions, we've said you're in a subdivision, you don't get the ag tax valuation. The question is, with the larger subdivisions, have that land really been converted to use that is there may be some agricultural use there. They may still have a few cows on it. But it's incidental to the purpose of selling lots and therefore shouldn't have the ag valuation because it's in a subdivision. Or do we want to say, no, these are bigger and they still ought to be able to qualify for the ag exemption? You can make a reasonable argument on both sides. I've weighed it both ways, and where I come down is I think it's better off to say if you're in a platted subdivision, you don't get that ag valuation. I can see a reasonable argument on the other side. It's a policy question we're going to have to settle.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. As I understand this, if I happen to have a farm instead of a large ranch, and I wanted to do 140 acres, and clearly it's a farm, are you telling me that I would not be able to have the ag exemption?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're in one of these platted subdivisions, then you don't get it. And the experience we have is that those are they're not in the big irrigated farming areas. They're out in their rangeland. And you could say, well, 140 acres, that's enough rangeland. You ought to be able to. That's a very reasonable position. If you feel that way, you vote against the amendment. If you feel because they're in a platted subdivision, they're no longer agricultural, then you vote for the amendment.
Senator Bebout.
Yep, but Mr. Chairman, the previous amendment failed, so I don't have any way to do that 140 acres in that farm unless I have a platted subdivision, as I understand the bill. And that's the requirement, so then do I not lose my ag exemption?
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, a good senator from Fremont County would be right if indeed his county had passed a resolution saying that up to 140 acres came under the subdivision requirement. So if the county said yes, any split up to 140 comes under this law, we're going to put you under the subdivision, then indeed that I think that would occur.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important that we as a body come to the point that we review where we're at, what the problem is, and what we're trying to solve. We have this in our community, we have this in our community, and elsewhere. We have some individuals that are trying to do that, and that's just a
Excuse me, Senator Perkins, could you please address your mic a little bit? We're getting signals from the back there that nobody can hear you.
That's probably just as well.
Granted, but they want to hear you anyway.
Is this working better? Never better.
No, it's on, and the heads.
I've got a green line.
You always do. Would you just get it closer to your, maybe up on your shelf?
Does this one work?
There we go.
Yeah, nice mic. Anyway, so with respect to having feet in both subdivisions, the other thing that happens is you're getting out here, and so you have people who are literally buying these parcels sight unseen from across the country, and in some cases even outside the country. But what you do in the contract that often appears in, and not all these are this way, but what it's very common that you see a contract where even though you're selling the 40 acre or some that size parcel, all the rights to graze and do everything else is being maintained by the initial owner until you actually build on it or do something else and start to fence out, because we have a fence out doctrine in the state. So ultimately, they have the ability to take a huge acre parcel, you divide it up, and all of a sudden you either somewhere you start to sell that at probably oftentimes up to, if not double, sometimes up to 10% of 10 times what it would be worth in the block as a large parcel. By dividing it up into these acreages, you're able sometimes to increase it, even sometimes as much as 10% value of that. So you have a situation where they're selling off parcels for much higher than raw ranch land or range land would be. You're enjoying the economic benefit of having that price increase and having that money coming in, while you're then enjoying the reserved right to graze and use that property to obtain the trespass fees for hunting and other things. So you're really on a situation where you have individuals who are exploiting this and having the best of both worlds. So you're having ag land, they're being taxed at ag land, but they're having the value and the money as less as not ag land, as subdivided land. And so there are some individuals, and I will give a particular developer in it's in north of Casper, tried to do it right. They were very cooperative with local government, putting in roads. There was some partnership on relocating roads and doing some other things. They tried to do it right, but we also have some other subdivisions where they didn't try even close to be it right and have created numerous problems for local government there. So I rise in support of this amendment because you really are in a situation where people are trying to have it both ways. I would submit that also when this goes to the county, that there'll be this exact same discussion at the county level with respect to whether it's 35 or 140 or anything in between. And you'll have this exact same discussion, and people in the local communities will be able to decide that with what they think fits best inside their county. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my concern with this is that while I understand the example that just was explained, that is, gentleman comes in, entities come in, buy up a large parcel of property, divide it up, put it on the internet, they have no intention of ever ranching it. We'll get our taxes out of that eventually, and we want to stop that. But what about the rancher that's living out on his property? He needs to sell some parcels off on the periphery of his property. And he decides to do it the right way. He says, what I want to do is over the course of 10 or 15 years, I want to sell off parcels, maybe two parcels a year. So I subdivide a portion of my property, and my intention is to go to the commissioners and say, here's my 15-year plan. And I'm going to do one a year just enough to keep myself in business. But I'm going to continue to ranch the balance of the property as part of my ranch. Under this, the minute I make that decision, now I'm going to have to tax that portion under the subdivision plat at a higher rate. So I'm not going to do that now. I'm not going to go ahead and lay out an orderly plan over 10 years. I'm going to do it one parcel at a time. It's more expensive for me. There's less planning involved. I submit to you the answer is, the question is, the threshold question is, are you using it for ag purposes? And if you are, you get the ag exemption. If you're not, you don't. On and against the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I want to first revert to the earlier concern that was raised. And with the defeat of the Standing Committee Amendment, we went back to the language in the bill that does allow the county commissioners to approve up to 5 parcels coming off without being part of a subdivision. So you do have the ability, say, if you have a parcel, say it's 120 acres, that would make a nice farm, you can sell it off without having to go through the subdivision process, providing the county commissioners agree to that. That's the provision that was in the bill as it came from the Joint Interim Committee. That's where we are now. So I think that concern can be dealt with. Frankly, Mr. Chairman, it's a balancing act we've got here. We've heard 2 very good arguments for and against the amendment, and they're both valid. And I think we've got to strike a balance here. I would urge the Senate to strike the balance that these larger subdivided lands ought to be subject to the full property taxes and not be subject to the ag land valuation. But it is clearly a judgment call, and the bill works perfectly well either way.
No further. Thank you. The question being called on Senator Scott's Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 on Senate File 11. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The ayes have it. The Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 has passed. We're back on the bill. Question being called on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 11, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The bill is passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate rise and report, Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 3, do pass. Senate File 4, do pass. Senate File 9, do pass, amended. Senate File 63, do pass. Senate File 69, do pass. Senate File 52, do pass. And Senate File 11, do pass, amended. Senator Jennings, Chairman.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Vice President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carried. The report has been adopted. Senator Nicholas. You may, and I'll get to, there you go.
Okay, folks, this is the, you get to learn 2 months worth of work in about 20 minutes. Let's begin with your golden rods. We'll take you through the golden rods, tell you where we are and how we got here. Okay, on the we'll start with your page one. I think by now everybody understands and remembers your. We start off with our revenues, our funds available, which are in the top paragraph of the spreadsheet on that first paragraph, and then we go into the expenditures. You have the 07 biennium. That is the year. That's the biennium that we've just finished up. The reason why we put the 07-08 biennium in there as for a profiling is because there are bills that appropriate out of this biennium. Those are the effective immediately bills. So to the extent that we appropriate effective immediately, you'll see there are changes that will be made. When it says January Craig status underneath that, the only significance is that's a revenue. So that is the revenue as of the general or the Craig status. And I'll explain to you, well, let's take right on that top paragraph, at the bottom of the available funds, you'll see the Treasurer's Office portfolio rebalancing of $33,543,114. The reason that that is in there is because after the Craig Group met in January and provided their estimates, the Treasurer did some rebalancing of the portfolio, principally the overseas European portfolio adjustments. They took some capital gains. And that is revenue that was not contemplated or considered by the Craig Group, so that is a revenue source that occurred after the Craig Group met. So once again, really the explanation of that is that's why we define that as the January Craig status. The governor's rec, the JAC's rec, by now you know well. Dropping down to expenditures, I think most of those you probably have familiarity. I do want to talk for a moment at the bottom of the expenditures says general fund appropriations to the spending policy reserve accounts. Those are the dollars that... those are two-year dollars, and we'll talk about that later. It's a little bit complicated because the spending policy reserve applies in each of the years of the biennium, so it applies twice. It kicks in gear, if you will, two times through the biennium. Down below, the statutory reserve, that is 5% of the general revenues, and it used to be that we put the statutory reserve below. Our practice over the last 2 years or so has been to move that up. The governor is required to leave a statutory reserve of 5%. We are not required to do that. We could spend it if we choose. It's been our practice, however, as good fiscal folks to ensure that there's at least a 5% general fund revenue there for the statutory reserve. That's the $104 million. So when you see the total traditional funds available for appropriation, that's what we had to expend. The $176 million in column one, that is the carryover that goes into the new budget. So that's the surplus from the biennium that we're sitting in. The governor had profiled about $57 million available for expenditure. We actually, the JAC is $33 million. When we left the JAC committee, it was our intent to have a little over $50 million for expenditure. The reason for the reduction is the Treasurer's Office portfolio rebalancing, and we'll talk a little bit later on the chart. But what happened is that there was, as I sort of explained before, in the rebalancing effort, there were capital gains taken in the Common School Permanent Land Fund, and as a result of that, there was more money. The spending policy requires that money be transferred from the general fund into the Permanent Common School Fund to meet the spending policy requirement, and that was about $18 million net. And that dropped us down to the 33. We apologize for that. We thought we'd have a little bit more. But those are the things that happen. We have a bill that's coming through to take care of those, so that will not happen in the future. Down below, you see that the difference between the $33 million that the JAC left for you and what's profiled in the governor's column of the $57 million, the principal area of difference is a $27.7 million transfer that we recommended to go into the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, the LSRA. Otherwise, they're about the same. That is not what, that's the largest event or transaction that accounts for the difference between the JAC rec and the governor's rec on page one. Down below then, when you see the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, we came into the session with $325 million, and you can see that on the JAC column, it's higher than the governor's rec because of the $27.7 million LSR's dollar amount. When you look at the school foundation program balance, you'll see that the our recommendation is $100 million, where the governor's is $124 million. I'll explain that later, but that is what we call the sweep. There's a provision in the budget that we had in the last biennium that we've carried over, and what it does is it sweeps the account down to $100 million at the end of the biennium, the excess after the Hathaway's funded, which will occur. The excess right now will then, that $24 million will go back into the Common School Permanent Land Fund to build the corpus. There is about $14 million worth of education bills that are not profiled on it. So the first, when that $14 million goes through, assuming that holds, that sweep will be reduced, of the $24 million will be reduced by about $14 million. We will still have a $100 million balance if all those bills pass in lease or staying in the in that account. Water developments 1, 2, and 3 we'll talk about. You'll see we put a little bit more money. Turning over to page 2 is the general fund profile. Now remember, folks, what happens is this is the profile as we begin today. When a bill with an appropriation passes the committee of the whole, the bill then, the appropriation then becomes profiled on either the general fund or the budget reserve account. So the time that the profile shows up, a bill shows on here, is when it passes committee of the whole. When you look at the general fund revenues, the only thing that's a little bit extraordinary there is, again, you can see portfolio rebalancing. That's the $33 million of additional revenue that was taken after the Craig group met in January. The one exception to the bill that we do profile is under appropriations for Senate File 55. We do profile the Senate feed bill, and actually there are a couple bills that the exception to the rule that we only profile when it passes committee of the whole. One is the feed bill, because we like to eat and we'll get our bill through. The second is some of the school bills that are profiled in the general funding that we'll see later, but that's under the school foundation program account. The difference between the governor's rec and the Craig's rec, or the JAC's rec, where the governor has $62 million and we have zero, has more to do with fund balancing and switching. It's not really that relevant right now. It's because we began to talk about where our money's going to go. And when the governor's rec is made, he makes it without the benefit of the fund switches, which are Section 300s. That takes us over to the budget reserve account at the top of page 3. Once again, on revenues, where you see that second line that are severance tax, refunds, credits, those are the obligations that we incur when there are oil company tax disputes and we have to repay monies that we've already taken in. And so there are a couple obligations that will flow through this biennium, and those are profiled on that line. That's the explanation. Then you see net revenues available for transfer to the general fund, the $100 million versus $200 million. That's, again, what we talked about earlier, just different fund switches. Under the appropriations, you see that the JAC, about midway through, you have a transfer to Water Development Account 2. There's $10 million there that was not recommended by the governor that is made. So that's coming out of the budget reserve account. The transfer to Water Development 3, the big account for dams building, $24,500,000. And then the transfer to the LSRA is the $27 million. So those are the three savings, one-time type of appropriations that are the result of our activities in January. That takes us down to the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, our rainy day account, if you will. And you can see that right about halfway through, you'll see the budget bill transferred in from the BRA budget reserve account, and you'll see off in the JAC column the $27,673,841. Those were the additional savings that we put in. That's where you'll see that. That then takes us over to the School Foundation Program, which is on the top of page 4. Remember, the School Foundation Program has revenues flows not only from the school capital or the Common School Permanent Land Fund, but the federal mineral royalties. And you'll recall that we funded the Hathaway not out of the account itself, but by diverting FMR revenue flows going into the account. And that's why you see that the Hathaway higher education endowments for the current fiscal year, biennial year 07-08, shows as a reduction to revenue because we essentially divert those dollars before they arrive in the account. And you'll see that in the under the 07-08 Craig status that the Hathaway obligation is going to be funded this year. That's the $254,362,000. Now, when you start looking under the appropriations out of the account below, those are under the 07-08. Those are the dollars that come in. Now, you see that line about two-thirds down under appropriations, which is the 2007-2008 budget bill transfers to the school CapCon. That's the provision that provided that. Well, there's two parts of the suite. Let's just talk about that. In the last budget bill, we swept or took funds out of two sources out of the school foundation program. One bill said that when the Hathaway is completed, if there are more monies that would develop in the account as a result of federal mineral royalties flowing to the account, and such that there would be more than a $100 million balance, then we'll stop the flow of FMRs after the Hathaway, and we put those dollars into the Common School Permanent Land Fund, too. But remember, because of the revenue picture, we still had a balance above the $100 million. And that's because during the last biennium, even after we swept all the federal mineral royalty flow into it, there was enough income off of the Common School Permanent Land Fund investments that there was those dollars were not swept, and so we ended up with about $130 million profiled in the account when our intent was to take it down to 100. So then we took another amendment that swept the 35.